Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
This morning I was moved as I've been studying about the feasts, and after last Sunday when George Witten and Bat Rivka from Israel were here, I wanted to share, because I believe we're in a really prophetic time, and when you look at what happened this week, the devil really overplayed his hand. I don't know if you've been staying up with, but I listened to a number of podcasts and stuff last night. People who never heard of Charlie Kirk and his message are now listening. The Spirit of God, and you know, just a few months ago, he said, "What would you like to be known for?" "I'd like to be known for my faith." And so I believe the Lord's going to raise up hundreds of Charlie Kirks. Men and women, they're going to be revival. Listen to me. They're going to be revival on the campuses. The blood of the martyrs goes before. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We pray a blessing over his family and all those that are going to be motivated to step up. We're not going to be silent, but we need to do it in a godly way. Last night there was a vigil, or night before there was a vigil in honor of Charlie Kirk. Somebody with a rainbow backpack came in and started cursing Charlie Kirk, and they beat the snot out of him. That's not the way we respond. Yeah, you better be careful what you say in the presence of people, but that's not who we are. But we will not be silent. So this morning, as I want to share with you, we're in a really, really prophetic timetable right now. As I've been studying the Jewish feasts, I'm not trying to make us Jewish, but at the same time, Jesus was Jewish. And when you look at the spring feasts, the first coming of Christ, the resurrection, the ascension, we're all in the first feasts of the spring feasts, right? You want to study this, look at Leviticus 23. They are called the feasts of the Lord. Not the Jewish, they're the feasts of the Lord. In fact, they are the Lord's appointed time. Look at the Hebrew on that and you'll see. They are official days of a holy assembly. That's in Leviticus 23, verses 1 and 2. The first four of the spring feast exactly coincided with Jesus' first coming. So something about this, and I believe prophetically, the fall feasts are going to be the second coming timetable. I just believe it in my heart. We know Passover, Jesus was the Passover lamb. The unleavened bread, and the night when he broke bread, he was the unleavened bread. He's the first fruit of many, Paul tells us. Book of Hebrews tells us. The first of many who will come as the resurrected ones. Pentecost, 50 days after the falling of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Exactly coincided with that. So the fall feasts are something, we don't set the dates, but we're about to see the Feast of Trumpets. September 22nd, Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the trumpet, the shofar, that's going to come September 22nd. Next week is the high beginning of that 10 days that ends in the high holy day of Yom Kippur, the highest holy day, and then followed by the Feast of Tabernacles. When you unpack the spiritual meaning of those feasts and where we are in this timetable, actually, the Feast of Tabernacles is a time of expectation where God's going to dwell with his people. He's going to come and dwell with us. And so it's a time of blessing. It's also recognition. Our time on earth is short. You only got a little bit of time, like a vapor, right? The scripture says. Here's an interesting fact. The Jewish tradition says that God weighs a person's words, their deeds, and their thoughts. On October 2nd is the high holy day, Yom Kippur, and it means covering. It's God's covering over you. But there's a tradition in the Hebrew that says in that 10 days that works up to that, God actually gives, and we know we have a greater, excellent, more excellent covenant now in Christ. But during that 10 days, the Jews believe it's a time of repentance and reflection. It's a time to wake up, to recognize, because we see in that 10 days, he actually talks about the book of life, where if you have repented, the Jews believe at the end of that, you'll be covered for another year over his covering in the book of life. Now we know the book of life. Daniel speaks of this. Revelation says, if you come to Christ, your name's been transferred to the book of life. And on the day when he comes back and he judges it, he will open the books looking for your name. So we see the tradition, and we also see the reflection of the apostolic pushed out through these feasts. Even Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 15:50, he says this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I want to tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. In the twinkling of the eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We will be changed in a moment. Many believe it starts in the judgments at that time, or Jacob's trouble, a trial that Jeremiah spoke in chapter 30, or Jesus spoke in Matthew 24, the tribulation hour. This is the season of reflection and repentance, turning back to his covering. We're also in a very interesting month. It's called Elul. It's the 12th month, E-L-U-L. Interesting time in the Jewish calendar. It's that 12th month beginning on September 22nd, next week. It starts with Rosh Hashanah. And Elul means he returns. There are many that believe he could return on one of those Elul months. So he's going to return. That's why they blow the shofar every day. They blow the shofar as a wake up. Awaken from your slumber and your complacency. Turn from your sin. In Yom Kippur, 10 days later, is the Day of Atonement. Repentance, so we're in the book of life. Fasting and praying. Some of you, I talked to one of my brothers, doing a 40-day fast right now. It's a time of reflection. Elul is an invitation to meet with the king because he's in the field. As you heard last week from George, for 11 months, the king's in the palace. But in the 12th month of Elul, he's in the field, and he's welcoming his bride. Come to me. In fact, the Hebrew people also have this thing that it's, they believe in the Song of Songs in chapter 6:3, where Solomon declares, Elul means in the Hebrew, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. There's an intimacy request or a seeking after. The bride's making herself ready. Are you making yourself ready? Yeah. Revelation 19 says, by the good deeds. Revelation 19, the bride makes herself ready by the good deeds. It's the garments she will wear. You don't wear a dirty wedding dress to the wedding feast. No. So, Lord, make us ready. Repentance and intimacy, God, I pray. In fact, Elul, in the month of the second chances. It's a time of second chance. How many of us need second, three, and four, five chance? Man, he's so patient with us. But it's a good news. In fact, you remember the story where Moses comes down from the first time he got the Ten Commandments off the mount, and they're in rebellion. And they're building they've got the golden calf, and they're worshiping idols. Moses is so distraught, he throws the tablets down and breaks them. Exodus 20. 24. In Exodus 34, God, in the month of Elul, says, go back up to the mountains and get the second set of tablets. He's a God who gives us second chances. And it culminates on the Day of Atonement, the covering, reminding us of God's mercy and his grace. It's an invitation, return to me, come to me. God's mercy is greater than your failures, and his love for you is deeper than your shame. His covenant is for you. That's why he's beckoning us, come to me. It's a season of open doors. In the new covenant, Jesus, it says in Hebrews, we've been given a more excellent covenant, and the old covenant is obsolete. What the blood of goats and sheep could do, only the blood of Jesus could do. Our high priest Jesus intercedes for you, the first fruit of many. God, I pray, just bow your heads. Lord, I pray right now that we would be a people that would look in reflection. Even the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians that he got this directly from the Lord for communion, the Last Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. But he said, make sure that you evaluate yourself. Examine yourself. Holy Spirit, would you turn the light on? James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Show us, Lord, what is not pleasing to you. We want to be a people that are pleasing to you. And we realize how weak we are and how easy it is for us to stumble in thought and word and deed. But you declare us righteous by faith in Christ. These unrighteous, broken vessels become righteous in Christ by our faith and belief in him. That's why when he gathered his disciples that last night, he took the bread and he broke it, recognizing this will be my body. They didn't have any idea. In fact, in John 6, when he said, if you don't eat my bread and eat my body, my flesh, and drink my blood, you're not even worthy of being mine. They had no clue, and many left him. And he turned to the disciples and he said, well, you going to leave me too? And the response was, where would we go? When I'm with you, I have life. There are many things we don't understand, the mysteries of life. Don't let those become a stumbling block. He will do good things in the land of the living, he promised. And his ways are much higher than ours. Things we don't understand. On that night, he broke the bread. He even gave it to Judas. He washed the feet of the one who betrayed him. And then he took a cup. He said, I'm going to seal this covenant in the blood. So, Lord, I pray that we would be reflective, God. Forgive us all unforgiveness, all pride and arrogance, all brokenness, all rebellion, all sins of choosing you over, you choosing things of the world over you. You're a God who forgives, and then you cover us. Let this be a turning point. In this month, so much favor for those who come to him in repentance. So if you want to get a copy, and everybody, if you need a copy of the handout that's with the bulletin this morning, I titled the message, Christ is the Gateway to the Fullness of the Father's Presence. In fact, there's a couple of scriptures I'd like us to look at. If you want, you should have, some of you use phones, I encourage paper. As we shared in the last few weeks, when AI starts hitting, they can't modify your paper that's in your hands. They can try to burn it. They can do away with it, which is what the Antichrist will do. All the dictators have done in the past. They'll try to eradicate the word. You want to hurt, you know, hide the word in your heart, but your phone and your computer will be subject to changes that you don't even know. So I just encourage you, get paper. It's a good thing to mark it up. In fact, they actually know you learn more as you read it and you mark it down. You actually absorb more. They've proven that through a lot of studies. All right. Christ, the gateway to the fullness of God. Turn with me, if you will, to John 10. I want to start where Jesus actually, in several scriptures, Jesus here, he gives actually the job description of himself and the job description of the devil. John 10:10, he says, the devil has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come to give life and fullness, abundance, some of your translations say, right? But I want to read before that, open to that John 10. Let's begin in verse 6. Those who heard Jesus, he used this illustration and didn't understand what he meant. So he went on in further explanation to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate. King James says, I am the door. To who? Not to the goats, but to the sheep. I don't know if you've ever had sheep or goats. We've had both. Goats are, they're just goats. My wife thinks they're cute. When they're about that big, yep. But if you've ever had a billy goat, we had a billy goat when I was growing up in Pennsylvania, a friend of mine. That thing would go up and eat the toilet paper in the second floor. If you left the screen door open, go up there and pull the whole toilet paper down and eat it. Like, what's up with that goat? That goat needs to be gabrito, right, Mama? We were in Argentina. I think I was going to buy Mama some goat. She said, I don't eat goat. Well, all right. Well, I tried. So here we are. Back to the scriptures. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. Verse 8. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep... they don't listen to them. I love that. There's true sheep and there's untrue sheep. Right? He says the sheep didn't hear them. King James, New Living says, the true sheep did not listen to those robbers. Yes, I am the gate. He says it again. King James says, I am the door. But then he goes on and says, by me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. King James, that's New Living, says this, the thief's purpose is to kill and destroy, but those who come to me, through me, will be saved. Those who come through Christ, the doorway, the gateway, will be saved. The true sheep know who he is, right? Are you getting these points? It's like he's making very specific comments and points to understand those he's given this parable to. And then he says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I'm the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees the wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock, and the hired hand runs away because he's working only for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. See, there are good shepherds and bad shepherds, true sheep and false sheep. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Woo-hoo. When someone says, well, do you know Jesus? Well, I'm not really sure. Then you don't know him. Because you will know that you know that you know. The Holy Spirit will give you a witness. Amen. Now, the enemy will try through rebellion or sin or brokenness or isolation or lies to tell you you're not. But the word is true. And so we thank you that the good shepherd says, I know my sheep and they know me. Verse 15, just as my Father knows me, I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not part of this sheepfold. This is the many tribes and tongues and nations. On that day when he gathers them all, I must bring them along also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. This is that Ephesians 2, the one new man, both Jew and Gentile. The big family of God one day. So this whole thing, we covered a bunch a couple of weeks ago about it was actually on Wednesday nights about deception we've been teaching on, right? One of the anti-Semitic deceptions is this anti-Semitism that the church has replaced Israel, which is a total lie. We won't relitigate that. So we see in John chapter 10, but I won't have you turn there, but in John 1 in verse 51, where Jesus is calling his disciples, this is John 1:51, and Nathanael, who's one of the 12, he tells Nathanael, I saw you sitting under the tree, and he goes, he told me everything I ever knew. It's like, wow, you think that's what you're going to see? You're going to see a whole lot more. In fact, you will see the Son of Man, which is the definition Jesus calls himself, you will see the Son of Man ascending and descending. Angels will come up and down, and he says, I am the stairway from heaven to earth. He's not only the doorway, he's not only the sheep, he's the one that, who can ascend the hill of the Lord, right? Psalm 24, clean hands and a pure heart. And so he's the one that gives us ascension into the higher things, come up ye hither, right? But he also is the one who is the connection between heaven and earth. So when you look at your outline, this case of Christ is the gateway or the fullness of the Father's presence. I want us to look, Carrie didn't know I was going to share out of John 14, but I want you to turn a couple of pages to the right to John chapter 14, one of the most powerful scriptures, I believe, for us as we look at troubled times and heart and says, don't be troubled. He's revealed to the disciples he's going to be martyred. And they don't like it. They don't know about it. They've confused it. They've laid down their profession to follow him. Peter had a wife. So they're on the mission field with Jesus for 3.5 years, and he says, guys, guess what? I'm about ready to be murdered and killed for your sake. And they're like, whoa. Now we're kind of nervous about what's going to happen. I want to read this out of the New Living Translation, John 14, 1. Don't let your heart be troubled. Boy, that is an appropriate word for right now. When you see what's going on. the wars, the rumors of wars, the Israelis attack Qatar, Ukraine war, assassination of Christian men on college campuses, all the craziness. Don't let your heart be troubled. You have a let process here. And he's trying to tell them, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more that I have told you about, that I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when everything is ready, I'll come and get you. When everything is ready, I'll come get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way, where I'm going. And poor Thomas, poor doubter Thomas, now he's the seeker of truth. Hallelujah. Verse 5. We don't know where you're going, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus says to him, I am the way. I'm the truth. All you need to know is me. I'm the life. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And all the cults that want to say ecumenically, there's more than one way up the mountain, lies and deceptions. Don't buy that lie. No one can come to the Father except through me. He's the door. He's the gate. Yeah. The true sheep know that. Yeah. If you had really known me, you would know my Father and who he is. And from now on, you don't know him. You do know him and have seen him. Philip said in verse 8, Lord, if you'll show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Now recognize, remember in Matthew 17, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the Mount of Transfiguration. They go up and the Father comes in the cloud. Moses and Elijah are there, and like, you know, Peter wants to build tabernacles. And on the way down, Jesus says to the three, don't you tell anyone what you have seen until I am resurrected. So that's why Peter and Philip and poor Thomas are like, we haven't seen the Father. Like Peter and them are probably, we have. I'm just thinking that Peter was like, yeah, John thinks he's the one that Jesus loves. Peter says, you know, I'm the one, that I ran faster to the tomb. You know, those two guys, they were a mess, those two guys. But here we see the revelation of that hadn't been fully given to the other nine. But Jesus replies this, which I think is applicable for us. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Have you been a believer so much now that you don't really know who he is? That's an interesting comment for us. How much do you want to know? It's limitless, right? The fathomless riches of God. And so he says to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Verse 10, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words I speak are not my own, but my Father's, who lives in me and does the work through me. It's amazing. I think I counted this right in the New Living Translation. 17 times in 30 verses of John 14, the word Father is used. That's significant. This connection with the Father through Jesus is really, really key, I believe. And he's trying to get that conveyed to us. But then he goes on. I saw this post the other night. There was these two avenues, and a ton of people on one side, those who believe Jesus and those who follow Jesus. There's only a few on the follow line. There's a difference between belief and do, or belief and follow. And our actions convey what you really believe. Now, that's not perfectionism, because Lord knows we all stumble and fall, but there needs to be evidence, like James says, show me your faith by your works. Okay, so let's go on. It says, you can see me and the Father by what I've done. Verse 11, just believe that I am, now he says, in the Father, and the Father is in me. He repeats himself, or at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. That's why when you're out and about and people who are not believers see the goodness of God in you, they say, I see Jesus in you. They may not be able to put those to words or even really understand it, but they'll get it. Right? Verse 12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works. I'm going to be with the Father. And you can ask anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything. This is the doers who ask the Father and through Jesus' name, and then you do the good works and the fruit of the kingdom advances. Yeah. Right? So many examples of this. It's like, I tell you the truth, the same works greater shall you do, right? Verse 14, yes, ask me anything in my name and I'll do it. Promises of Holy Spirit. This is where we emphasize you can't do this without the power of the Holy Ghost. And we teach on that until I'm green in the face, right? I hope you get it because I didn't get it when I was in all the other denominations I was in. Verse 15, if you love me, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, comforter, spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, and it doesn't even recognize him. But you know him, you know the Holy Spirit, because he lives with you now. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit in me is with you right now, but he's going to be in you in a little while. No, I will not abandon you as orphan. That orphan spirit, man, I think all of us have got these little minor orphan spirit things, or some are major. That's why in Isaiah 68, he says, I, the Father, will be a father to the fatherless. I believe all of us have fatherless and motherless areas because our parents were not perfect. He says, I won't abandon you as an orphan. I'll come to you. Soon the world, verse 19, soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. They're probably sitting there. Can you imagine this sermon? He's going to die. They're freaking out. Don't be troubled. It's like, I don't know where you're going. The Holy Spirit's going to be in you. You're going to see me again. The world won't see me, but you're going to see me. That's why he doesn't show himself to everyone. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you'll see me. Since I live, you will live also. Woohoo! Because we know if you're not born again, you're already dead. You are dead. Tells us that, right? Colossians. I'm in the Father. Here he goes again. I'm in the Father, and you are in me, and I'm in you. And those who accept my commandments and obey me, they're the ones who love me. So there's a whole lot of I love Jesus, I love Jesus. Yeah. Show me. Amen. Prove it. It's like, it's not about works, but it is about proof. Yes. We talked about the talents, right? Matthew 25. The talents you're given, did you bury them or did you multiply them? Did you take a risk with the talents given? That's why it's kind of surprising to me we don't have more people volunteering for children's ministry or for AV sound or for House of Mercy. What are you doing? That's not to be manipulative or controlling, but if there's a need, find time in your busy schedule of worldliness or whatever you're doing to make time for serving the Lord. We need you to do that. Pull on the rope. It's part of your talents. You will be judged for what we do and what we don't do. All right, moving right along. That's a sideline. Those who accept my commandments obey me, and the ones who love me, because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. It talks about obedience and doing and revealed love. 22, Judas, not Iscariot, but the other disciple with the same name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. That's like, how many times are you going to say that? If you love me, do what I say. My Father will love them, and they will come and make our home with them, each of them. God will make his home with you. And anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. This is like the fourth time. And remember, my words are not my own. Why am I telling you this? From the Father who sent me, I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. That's the advantage. John 16, we won't turn there. Jesus said, it's an advantage that I go away because then the Holy Spirit will come and he will teach you everything I've told you and tell you about the future. I'm leaving you a gift, verse 27. What's the gift? peace of mind and heart. Woo! Boy, in a world gone crazy, suicide, depression, addictions, brokenness, idolatry, trying to escape into some kind of form of peace. He says, I'm going to leave you a gift that will guard your heart and your mind. And this peace that I give is the gift the world cannot receive. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I'm coming back again. Second time he said that. If you really love me, you'll be happy that I'm going to see the Father, who's greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you right now because the ruler of this world is approaching. He has no power in me, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come on, let's go. And then you know what happens. He gets arrested, and the rest is biblical history. So look at your handout. When we start to begin to seek the Holy Spirit and His, we know and want more about God. See that first paragraph? When you begin to seek. This week we were up in the mountains. It was awesome. We were in Blowing Rock, and we're in a restaurant in Blowing Rock. And we pray every day, Lord, give us divine appointments. And so we're in a restaurant in Blowing Rock. Katie, myself, and Ginny. And the hostess was very sweet at the front door. There was very few people in the restaurant during that time. And she had these gigantic earrings, and they looked like crosses hanging on her ears. Turns out they were swords. But I was observant. I'm always observant. And she was doing such a great job. So as she walked by, I said, excuse me, those are really interesting earrings. Are they crosses? She goes, oh, no, they're swords. I said, well, I just want to let, you're really an amazing employee. You're doing such a great job. I'm just watching what you're doing. By the way, do you know Jesus? She goes, no. Would you like to? She goes, well, I'm open. I said, well, here, let me give you a suggestion. Pray, Lord, if you're real, show me. I guarantee you, when you crack that door open, he'll show you. She goes, oh, okay. And then our server came, a young man. He said, he was very humble. He said, I'm really new at this whole thing, so basically give me grace. And you could see the light in his eyes. My wife and I said, man, he's a believer. I didn't know his name at the point. So at the end, it came up. I said, what's your name? He said, my name's Aaron. I said, I love that name. Are you a believer? He goes, oh, yeah. But I'm here, and I'm just starting my MBA, and I'm kind of trying to. I said, can I pray for you, Aaron? Yeah. And so these are divine appointments. Opportunities, planting little seeds, opportunity. Everywhere you go, you're on an assignment, you're on a mission. We just need the Lord to just pull back all the fear and all whatever that is, I don't know what, and just be real about Jesus. If you can lead one person to Christ who can live forever, what an opportunity, and it's so much fun. I'm getting all the reports during the week, you know, people tell, I had this divine appointment, I had this divine, oh God, and it's like you hear the joy of the Lord and everything. It's like, I stepped out, and guess what God did? I said, I know, it's so much fun. It makes the kingdom so much fun in the midst of all the garbage. That's French, by the way. When we begin to seek to know more about God and the spiritual things the Holy Spirit reveals, the depths of truth of God's goodness and greatness, then we can't help but get caught up in His wonder. It's like, where's this battle's going on? All over? Yeah, this battle. And then we see all the miracles popping in and like, come on, Jesus, do it again. Look at that. There's always more to discover. See the top of that bulletin there? There's always more. The question is, how much do you want? How much of Jesus and how much of the kingdom do you want? Yeah, seek ye first, right? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And everything you need will be added. And it's hard. I mean, loving people at the school board who hate you and curse you, those who write about you, you know, put things on social media. You wear a t-shirt and you can get beat up for a t-shirt. It's just crazy stuff, right? There's always more to discover. Number one, Jesus told them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father. So all the lies that are being put out about all the roads up the mountain and there's different ways, and let's build temples and synagogues and churches, and let's all put them in the Middle East and let everybody come and worship together. That's false teaching, and it's a deception. There is only one way. Well, Pastor, that sounds really narrow-minded. You bet it is, because there's a narrow way, and it's here. And we have a biblical worldview, and one of the things that Charlie Kirk said was, we're in this place, and he speaks truth, and it's hard truth, but I love the way he did it. I pray his message goes forward. He says, you know, we're in this season and time where wokeism, the DEI and the wokeism, combined with communism and the Muslim faith, are all combining to destroy America and destroy Christianity. Make no bones about it. That's what's going on. And it's going to get worse. If you listen, go online, go on Worthy Ministries, like what George brought last week, go on his, and you'll see how many Christians died this week were beheaded in Nigeria. How many were killed in Mozambique? How many are being arrested, pastors being arrested in Europe? Church, it's time for the church to stand up and say, no, not here. The freedom of speech, no. And you're going to have to get in people's faces to do that. You're going to have to stand. Do it with righteous love. But we're not going to be silent. Well, Pastor, now you're getting political. You bet I am. It's time to get political, and it's time to stand up. And it may cost you. It could cost you family relationships. It can cost you friendships. I was ministering someone recently who said, you know, when I got saved, people I hung with and partied with, they no longer contact me. They don't want to be with me. In the heart, you could tell his heart was broken and feeling rejection. I said, that's the scripture. Light will not dwell with darkness. So don't let rejection, and that's what God does. He's going to set you apart. You're supposed to be apart. You're not supposed to fit in. Right? You're getting this, right? It's like, so I'm asking all the sweet ones, stay sweet, but step up, right? The sheep have a shepherd who can tell the wolf, I'm not leaving the sheep, I'm here with you, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So we got to stand up. Look what God's doing. Those who have paid the price. The 40-day for lifers, those who stood and said, it's not about choice, it's about children being saved. Guess what? I heard over 40-plus Planned Parenthoods have shut down. They're going bankrupt. Now, how did that happen? How many millions of children will be saved as a result of those who paid a price? There were those who were martyred and killed for standing on there. They were arrested in England for that, praying at a Planned Parenthood facility or an abortion clinic. Blown up. Some of them were blown up and burned. Never even discovered under Biden's watch. It's time for us to say, look, there is a line in the sand. There is a place where you have to stand. I do not support that policy. I pray for you. I believe you're in sin, but I pray for you, and God loves you. And they'll use, well, you're supposed to love everybody. Absolutely. And I love you so much, I'll let you know that you're going to go to hell if you continue on this path. I love you that much, and you can hate me, you can want to kill me, you can slander me, but that's the truth. And someday we'll all stand and say, what do you believe? What did you believe? What did you do in your belief? That's what I just read to you about 5 times. If you love me, do what I say. So let's get out of our milquetoast, this lying spirit that says, oh, we're just supposed to be sweet and so. Yes, you are, but they're warriors in the house, right? And so that means you take it to the street and you minister to people, even if they don't like you. But he'll give you the words to say, all right, well, that was a rabbit trail, but it had a lot of bones on it. So, all right. Jesus said, if you really knew me, number two, you know who I am and my Father is, and from now on you do know him and you have seen him. This is such... I had issues trying to understand the father relationships because of my own brokenness in the past. Yeah. Abba, Father, Daddy. Someone once told me all those words. That's like Daddy, 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 Daddy. You're like, Daddy, Daddy. That sounds too like... But God is about... It's that intimacy that Jesus wants us to have with the Father. Yeah. And he's a good father. He's not a harsh father up there. Well, I'm just waiting for that kid to get out of line. I'll whack him good. No, that's not who he is. Now, he will whack you if you do get out of line, and he gives you enough opportunity. He'll give you a lot of rope, and then all of a sudden, pulls it back, right? To the woodshed, son, because that's what John told us. Who he loves, he disciplines. And sometimes I love when we get off track and things start crashing. Why is God letting this happen? Well, why did you open the door to sin and rebellion, which you now are reaping? Because he said in John 6:7, I will not be mocked. When a person sows, they shall reap. Right? Sleep around, get pregnant, get an STD, why did God allow that? Well, why did you do what he told you not to do? Now, don't let judgment or condemnation, because once you come to realization, I don't want to live there. And guess what? He'll work all things together for good when you come to him because you love him. So he'll turn all that mess that you created or others helped you get there with, he'll turn it into something beautiful. And then it becomes your testimony. You can't have you gotta have a test in your testimony, right? Right, Zach? We got to have that test. It's like, hey, when I come back to Jesus, I got a testimony to share. Number three, this one thing I ask. Let's turn. This is in the month of Elul. Turn with me to Psalm 27. Every day during the month of Elul, E-L-U-L, this month, the Jews read Psalm 27. They read it every day. And they blow the shofar every day, preparing their hearts for the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, that 10 days of repentance, because they realize, I want my name in the book of life. But we have a better covenant. We have Jesus. We can go access, not 10 days a year. We have access every day by the blood of Jesus, because the high priest is there. He ripped open the veil, tore it down, that thing that separates us, and we have access to Jesus every day. That's such good news. That's why it's called a better covenant, a more excellent covenant. The other one's obsolete. It was a foreshadow of what we would see. Psalm 27, David writes this, 14 verses, but it's amazing. The Lord, let me read New Living Translation. The Lord is my light. Whoa, Selah. Hallelujah. And my salvation. Light and salvation. Light and salvation. So why would I be afraid? Why are you afraid? If he's the light and your salvation, what are you fearing? What are you afraid of right now? Don't be troubled or afraid. I'm going to prepare a place. This is all going to work out. If you're in the ark of Jesus, no matter what happens, even if you're martyred, guess what? I believe Charlie Kirk is in heaven right now. Boom. I believe it. When you listen to his testimony, he paid a price. Yeah. Now we pray for his assailant that he'll get saved. And all those that are all messed up, listen to all this crazy garbage that's on the internet. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why am I afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why am I trembling when evil people come to devour me and my enemies and my foes attack me? They will stumble and they will fall. Though mighty armies surround me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, because there is a weapon that will form, but it won't prosper, right? Isaiah 54:17. But even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. Some of you are under attack. Remain confident. In fact, this is the place where rewards come in. By your faith and by your trial and by your tribulation, the boiling of the letting all the stuff that's in your gold come out. All the impurities got to go. They're going to heat it up. This one thing I ask of the Lord. One thing. That I will seek most, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. See, this is that 1 Peter 2, where he said, you're a living stone, a royal priesthood. You're a stone in the temple of God that's being formed. Do you realize that every stone, you're all different? But there's a stone that's being fitted together in the temple of God. That is the house of God. He says, I'm going to prepare a place, but you're actually part of the preparing of the place here while he's sharpening your stone. And then when we come together, woohoo, what is that going to be like? This one thing I seek most, the house of the Lord, I want to dwell in all my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections. Delighting in the Lord's perfections, meditating in his temple, considering these things. For he will conceal me When trouble comes, he'll hide me in the sanctuary. I'm hidden in Jesus. That's why he says in Peter, why Peter tells us this, he knows how to punish the wicked and spare the righteous at the same time. He did it with Lot, he did it with Noah, and he'll do it with us. If you're in the ark of Jesus, you don't have to try. It can be all crashing around us. And you got to tell your heart, don't be troubled right now. I'm seeing a whole lot of stuff going on. Read the scripture to yourself. Stand in the mirror and say, listen up, Tom, I do this. It's weird, I get it. I let the Spirit of God who's in me, who's the Spirit of truth, tell my soul, which is now a little troubled, right? Mind, will, and emotion. Listen up, Tom, you know what the Spirit of God says? And I look myself in the eyeball. I get it, I am a little strange. Listen up, Tom, and listen what the Word of the Lord says. In fact, I had on our mirror in the bathroom this thing I read sometimes. We just moved it to my desk. But I just, this is that place where tell yourself the truth. He will hold your head high. Then I will hold your head high. Verse 6, and my enemies who surround me and at his sanctuary will offer sacrifices of joy. This is the offer when you're on this side of heaven. And that is all going on, enemies attacking, you're full of, this is where you get to offer the sacrifice of praise. And it's got to drive the devil absolutely loony bins. Give him a migraine. He's tried everything to mess with you and mess with your kids and do this and that. And all of a sudden, praise the Lord. I don't know what else to do, just praise the Lord. It's like, that is an offer of a sacrifice of praise. It is like, I don't feel like it. It's not about your feelings. Act on it. It's like, turn on the music, declare it. Lord, I'm not believing. I can almost guarantee you, you do that for a few minutes or maybe an hour, and all of a sudden it'll shift. The atmosphere will shift because the angels will come take up their position. Verse 7, hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. Jesus is saying, would you kind of spend some time with me? Turn off the internet, turn off the stuff, and come talk to me. Just sit. Well, it's in your back. I hope everybody's got a place where you go and just like, that's my place. Where you just like, Lord, you have something you want to say to me? Turn on the music. I have a favorite song. It's just an instrumental. When I'm preparing sermons, it's early morning when I'm up. I put it on low. And I just let the music play. And I start reading the scriptures. It's like, ah, renewed. Find your place. Where is it that you hide with the Lord? Come. Come and talk to me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Verse 9. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me. Oh, my God, my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live. Woo-hoo. Oh, Lord, teach me how to live. Lead me along the right path. For my enemies, they're waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands. For they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident. I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. King James says, I'm not afraid, I haven't fainted, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the. So he believes, we believe, I don't know what this is all about, but I believe that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Yeah, no, it'll happen in the sweet by and by, but in the land of the living. You could stand and say, hey, Lord, this doesn't look like good stuff in the land of the living right now. But your word said that would be it. So would you let me see it? Give him no rest, right? Wait on the Lord. Oh, wait. I don't like waiting. Verse 14, I want it now. McDonald's, right now. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. They say this psalm during the month of Elul, blowing the shofar, saying, get your heart ready. And we know that David was a man after God's heart. Even in all of his mess and stuff, He still declared that. Acts 13:22, it was declared. David was a man after God's heart. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 13, when he's about to dismiss Saul because of his rebellion and his lack of doing what God told him to do, the prophet Samuel says, goes to Jesse and says, there's got a new king coming. He goes and finds the ruddy little David out in the sheep field. Ah, this is one after God's heart. God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outward. So this one thing, he says, the most that I seek. So if you look at Psalm 27, look at number 4. I broke it down in those 14 verses. There's actually really amazing themes that come out. Verses, see that in 4a? Verses 1 through 3 is absolute trust. Who do you trust? Some trust in horses and chariot. I trust in the name of the Lord. Right? We sang that. I love it. I sing the name of Jesus. I guarantee you get into a place. I could give you 100 examples. I could line people up here. If you're under attack, especially those who have demonic activity in the night times, oppressed or being tormented, just say the name of Jesus. Woo! Boom, out of here. They can't stand that name. Absolute trust, verses 1 through 3. I trust you, God, even though David says, if anybody was surrounded by enemies, they had a hit squads, right? They had 3,000 Navy SEALs under Saul hunting him down to kill him. That guy had armies around him, right? His wife and children were carried off. Ziklag was burned to the ground. God, should we pursue them? Yes, pursue them. And they get everything back again. That guy knew something. He had absolute trust, and he learned. He says, well, first I learned it as a boy out there in the field guarding the sheep. When the bear and the lion came, I killed them both. So you think I'm going to not stand up against this Goliath, this uncircumcised Philistine? God teaches us in the battles. He teaches us in the little battles for the big battles, right? And he keeps working. He says, absolute trust. 4b, verses 4 through 6. Extreme value of presence. The presence of God. I don't know if you sense it on Sunday mornings, but we start in worship. And the reason we worship in lengths of time is all of a sudden you can feel the presence. I can see it. People there, and all of a sudden, right? It just all of a sudden the Holy Spirit descends over the, and there's something going on in here. And that, you want to know something? That's why you live longer. They have proven scientifically those who are in church, those who worship, live 9 years. Sometimes one was 9, wasn't. Christians live longer than those who are pagans. Exactly. Now they're probably not drinking and smoking and cursing and hanging out with those who do, but they also are in a place where the presence of God and the peace of God, it'll lower your blood pressure. It'll change your. Do you realize you're being bombarded with truth? Every molecule of your body is being they've done tests on this. Take plants and bombard it with death music. And go put Christian music on it. It's like, I don't know what we need to do to get this right in our brains here. There's a reason he said, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together, especially as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. Hebrews 10:25. You need to be in the house of the Lord and you need to be in your tribe. Well, the tribe hurts us. They say bad things. Yep, yep, yep. You're not perfect, nor are they. And guess what? Iron sharpens iron. And you can hide out in yourself. I'm really good by myself. You're not really. You need somebody to mess with you. So you learn how to forgive. I don't want to forgive. Well, then that's a problem. Well, you don't know what they did. You know what they did to Jesus? Okay. What you and I did to Jesus? Okay. So extreme value of his presence in the presence of God is the fullness. His devotion, and I know two or three together in his name, he's already here. But what happens when a whole crowd of people who love Jesus come together? He inhabits the praise of his people, and we are a dwelling place of the habitation. And then your habitation gets better and healed more. Come on, we got to get this. His devotion to our obedience, I read it over and over again, but verses 7 through 10, his devotion to obedience. God says, I look for someone in the earth that I might show myself strong in. Those that are, he'll meet you, especially when you're like, I don't know how to do this. I'm really nervous. What if they reject me? Do you know Jesus? You're in Walmart, right? Pat called me. I'm Walmart. The Lord told me to come to you. She told me this week. This will be wild. Two African-American men were doing something out in the driveway of another place. Pat's driving by, and the Holy Spirit says, are you going to stop? So she pulls over. She's doing children's ministry this morning, so I can brag on her. So she pulls in and says, I know you're going to think this is weird, but the Lord told me to stop and pray for you. One of the men took his hats off. He goes, oh, you don't know what I need right now, man. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Now, you can drive by and say, well, you know, wow, those look like tough dudes. Here's Pat, right? She's Italian. She's not afraid of much. But so his devotion to our obedience. His devotion to our obedience. Verses 7 through 10. And then the unveiled secrets of strength. He reveals strength to us. He pulls back the veil. And once you start doing this on your mission trip, when you leave the church here today on your mission field, and something happens that's really awesome, you're like, I really like this. It's really awesome. And so he just unveils the secret of strength. It's like, what are you going to do now? Give you one more. We were at, pray for me. My wife and I drive Katie in a lot of places. You know, she belongs to four churches. So I'm not complaining, Lord. Well, I am, but Lord, help me. So I appreciate when people help us in this. But anyway, so we're in Blowing Rock, and we drive down this road. We're actually 10 miles out of, and we didn't know where we were going. In fact, we thought we were looking at something. My wife's going, where are we going? I said, I don't know where we're going. And we pull into the Black Bear General Store. Been there 40 years. There's two ladies there, and we're there. And, of course, Katie, forget it. You can't go in there without, you know, God bless you. Hey, do you know the Lord? And so the two employees were there, and she buys this a special candy, a lot of candy. And she takes it home, and she eats it that night. And she goes, we got to go back to the general store. I said, Katie, I don't want to go back to the general store. That's 10 miles the wrong way. And my wife says, Katie likes that place, Tom. Now I got two women telling me. And I've already prayed divine appointments. Lord, we need a divine appointment. So we drive there. We pull into the Black Bear General Store. And now the owner of the store is there. And she wasn't there the day before. Katie's getting her candy. All of a sudden, we're touring. And they got Christian stuff around. And then all of a sudden, ministry starts happening. And her name was Kay. And so Katie starts talking to her. Ginny starts talking to her. And then I come in, and all of a sudden, tears start forming up. I said, are you a believer? Are you born again? Yeah. Let me tell you what happened. We bought the store, and then the hurricane came, and we had insurance, but we didn't have spoilage, and we lost money, and it's been a really hard year. And I said, do you know the Holy Spirit? Are you baptized in power? Yes. Alligator. Gigantic tears start flowing down. We lay hands on her and start praying for her. She, oh, my God. And I'm like, okay, God, divine appointment time. We were there for Kay. Katie thought it was chocolate. Tom thought it was an annoyance, but you did the right thing. I'm just being open with you, right? And I'm learning. I'm a little dense, but I'm learning. Okay, you must have a plan, especially when two women gang up on you. Just say yes. God might be in it. He is. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Believing that the goodness of God, verse 13, believe you will see the goodness of God in your life living. Believe it. Tell them about that. And then offer sacrifices of praise in the times of trouble, verses 5 and 6. And then the Lord says, come talk with me. And my heart says, I'll come. So let's stand. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you. It's so awesome to be with believers who love Jesus and pursue you in the midst of all of our trials, tribulations, confusion, opportunities to grow, overcome offense, try to understand things that don't make sense, the mysteries of God, and that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. So this morning, Lord, I thank you that we've had an opportunity this morning to become equipped. So Lord, I pray now a commissioning over those that are going to go out. As Katie shared last Wednesday about the ecclesia and the government established by God in the United States. Yes. If you missed it, go online. it'll really open your eyeballs to all the lies and deceptions we've been told. We've been dealing with lies and deceptions.
Yes.
And don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let the progressive garbage. It's not true. We were established on the principles scripturally as a nation. That's why we're a Christian nation. I don't care what Obama said. We're no longer a Christian nation. Yes, we are. And there's a remnant alive and well. And it's coming back, and there's going to be a revival. And so, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that there would, we would be the ones that are part of the living stones. Well, help us, Lord. Draw us in.
Yes.
Talk with him. Come and talk with me. My heart says yes. So I want to invite the ministry team, if you'll come to the front, and you know who you are. If you need prayer this morning, don't leave until you gang up on the devil. Two or three agreeing. It says if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000.
Yes.
He's talking about darkness and enemies. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to tell anybody my stuff. Well, humble yourselves. Draw close to God. He'll draw close to you. And I promise that we'll be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be faithful to helping people get through their stuff. So, Lord, I thank you this morning. Lord, I lift up our nation. I lift up Israel. Lord, in this season of Elul, prepare us. Get our hearts ready. I believe the bridegroom is coming soon. And I want us to be in a prepared. One of our roles is to prepare the body of Christ, right? Equip you for the works of ministry in Ephesians 4:12. You have to be equipped to do the work of ministry. And Jesus told us multiple times in John 14, if you love me, do what I say. So, Lord, I thank you. We bless what you're doing.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6:30. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.